Good morning, everyone. Well, that gusher in the Gulf has certainly motivated a complex, challenging debate on Capitol Hill over whether climate, whether the oil business, and are we safe enough dealing with all these offshore
oil? Whether regulation on any of these things.
Well, you heard Mary Landrieu, Senator, there talking about how we need this offshore oil, period, the end.
Right.
That's not going away. You heard Senators Murkowski and Barrasso talking about this blame game, very, very frustrated
exactly.
there in the newscast. We're going to hear from oil executives in just a moment. But the whole hearings yesterday, I don't know if you took a look at them at all, were kind of like that movie, There Will Be Blood. Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick, you were at the hearings, right?
I was, Sean.
Did you hear this moment, Todd?
Now, you have a great chance here. Bear in mind, you can lose it all if you're not careful.
It was a little chilling, Todd, huh?
I need to know what you want to do. That's the, I love that movie. It was a little chilling in the hearings, John. Blame game is right, and the senators were frustrated in two sets of hearings, and they're likely to be more frustrated in more hearings today. So executives from BP started blaming Transocean and people blaming others. I want you to listen to Steve Newman. He's head of Transocean. He's one of the heads of Transocean. He says that if the cement hadn't failed down at the bottom of the well, we never would have been here in the first place. Listen to Newman.
The one thing we do know is that on the evening of April 20th, there was a sudden catastrophic failure of the cement, the casing, or both. Without a failure of one of those elements, the explosion could not have occurred.
Now, who's responsible for the cement and the casing? Halliburton is. So then you go to Tim Probert, who's president of global business at Halliburton. Listen to what he says was the cause of the accident.
However, two things can be said with some certainty. The casing shoe was cemented 20 hours prior to the tragic incident, and had the BOP functioned as expected, this catastrophe would not have taken place.
BOP, John, is the
blowout preventer. Exactly.
Okay,
and who's responsible for that? Transocean. You see what's going on here? One finger goes to the other, and one finger goes back to the other. Meanwhile, BP blames both those guys.
And there was a good amount of frustration among the senators today, both about the sort of blame game that it appeared some of the corporate heads were taking. But it just seems the sort of complexity of this technology in offshore drilling, both in terms of the cleanup and in getting the oil from these deep water locations altogether. Lisa Marganelli also joins us. She's director of the Energy Initiative at the New America Foundation and author of Oil on the Brain, Petroleum's Long, Strange Trip to Your Tank. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Did you see at these hearings a level of complexity in terms of these processes and technology that maybe argues for significant change in regulations? And we've already seen some signs of that from the Obama administration.
Yeah, I think that you could see sort of a headache-inducing level of complexity in some of the hearings, especially the ones that were conducted where the questions were asked by members of the Coast Guard.
And the Obama has announced changes to what's called the Minerals Management Service, the MMS. It's a federal agency that's in charge of regulating offshore drilling. He's splitting that agency in two, but it seems like he's trying to consolidate federal oversight of offshore drilling. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, you have to do something with the Minerals Management Service. It's clearly too close to the industry. The scandal about sex and drugs and all that is sort of the tip of the iceberg. So they have to switch. They have to try to separate the environmental management from the sort of financial partnership that the other half of the organization does. So they're going to try to split it. I don't know whether that'll fix it. I mean, the problem seems so enormous. But they definitely need to kind of fix the tone of regulation. Something that came out recently is that so much of Minerals Management Service regulation actually is based on American Petroleum Institute sort of industry-based standards or practices.
So the industry writes their own regulations is sort of the net effect. Well, that's Lisa Marganelli speaking, director of the Energy Initiative at the New America Foundation. So Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, I mean, this regulatory change by the White House seems to be preemptive of the climate bill, which is an even bigger set of changes on how we deal with carbon and energy and all of these issues.
Right.
That bill is coming out. What's likely to change? How is this going to influence the debate?
Well, I think you're right that it's preemptive because there are so many things the administration wants to try to take off the table in terms of drilling if they can, if and before this climate debate gets started. We mentioned a couple of minutes ago that Kerry and Lieberman, when their climate bill comes out later today, have kept expanded offshore drilling in that bill, and that has been called a political non-starter by a lot of the people that Barack Obama and Harry Reid and John Kerry are counting on to try to get this bill passed, and a bill with so many regional differences and regional competing interests. But what they do in this bill is they say offshore drilling is still in there, but here's another concession, John. Your state can opt out if they want to. So yes, we're going to have drilling, but you can go back to your state legislature and say, not off our shores. Now, somebody like Bill Nelson of Florida will probably say, big deal, because my state can ban offshore drilling, and there's going to be another spill off of New Orleans, and guess what? It gets into the Gulf Stream, right, and here it comes to my beaches. So
Lisa, we've got a climate change bill. We've got all these regulatory changes by the administration reacting to the Gulf gusher. Do you think our energy policies, our energy strategy in the United States is likely to undergo a significant change from all this?
Well, yeah, everything's about to get turned upside down. For many years, we've had declining domestic production in the U.S., and we've increased our usage, so we've been importing more. The most recent plan to kind of keep our oil production up has been deep Gulf water drilling, especially deep, very deep. So now we get 30% of our oil from the Gulf. The plan was over the next 10 years to increase the quantity to 40% while also increasing the overall quantity. So we were going to get a huge amount of oil from those deep waters in the Gulf. I think that's all up in the air now because we don't even know whether these deep water formations are geologically safe, but we know that they're not politically safe.
And we do know that the easy oil has all been gotten. This deep water oil is hardly easy. Todd Zwillick, before we go, cap and trade. The Republicans love to call it the carbon tax. Is cap and trade suddenly a nicer idea?
It's all part of an extremely difficult mix. Offshore drilling is going to be an even harder debate, as Lisa mentioned. I think cap and trade is an even harder debate, John. They call it cap and tax. And in this environment, who's going to be able to sell a tax if indeed that's what you believe it is? This is going to be a hard bill to pass.
Well, the bill emerges today and the debate will begin. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, and our thanks to Lisa Marganelli, director of the Energy Initiative at the New America Foundation, author of Oil on the Brain.
The casing, or both.
Wasn't me.
BP, as a leaseholder and the operator of the well, hired Transocean to drill the well and fulfill their safety responsibility.
Wasn't me.
Had the BOP functioned as expected, this catastrophe would not have taken place.
Wasn't me.